Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is full of evil and wickedness. We live in a fallen kingdom, a world that hates Christ, a world that hates the truth, a world that hates righteousness. And so the Bible tells us that if we want to bear a good testimony for Christ, if we want to live godly in our Savior, we must come to expect persecutions. Moreover, we are told that in these last days, there will be false teachers, there will be false prophets, there will also be false brethren in the midst of churches. And so as we serve the Lord, there is every possibility that we may meet with many tribulations, troubles, and difficulties. So in the church, as we serve, we face with trouble. As we go out to work and we try to bear a good testimony for Christ, the people in our workplaces, they hate us. And sometimes for no reason. They just simply hate the light of Christ that they can see in faithful believers. And with all these difficulties that come our way, well, we may feel very boxed in. Well, we may feel that a tide of water has just come over us and we are drowning in this tide. And oftentimes these enemies that we may encounter may seem more powerful, like humanly speaking, than us. And so when you meet with such situations, how will you react? How will you respond? Is there a sure defense? Is there a dependable refuge for Christians in a world of trouble? Well, that is our theme for today. For you realize in 2 Samuel chapter 22, that David was also facing great trouble from his enemies. And how great were his troubles? Well, he describes these troubles as waves of death that compass him. And his own testimony about his enemies were that they seemed to be more powerful than him. And in the eyes of the world, all may seem so helpless that there is no hope for David. And yet here, the testimony of David is there is a sure refuge. There is a steadfast help. There is a trustworthy protection for me. And this sure, steadfast, totally trustworthy refuge and protection is none other than the Lord, who is my rock. Yes, Jehovah Selah, the Lord is my rock. And in his heartfelt praise, well, he wrote this psalm. And when did he write this psalm? Well, if you look at verse 50 of, or rather verse 51 of this psalm, Well, you will realize that this psalm was written, right, when he was king. And possibly in the early parts of his kingship. For in verse 1, he stated that, you know, this was written when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and specifically out of the hand of Saul. And yet, interestingly, this psalm is found at close to the end of 2 Samuel, where we would have already had the account of most of the life of David. Then why is this located at the end? Well, this is because, well, David faced with enemies, not just right in the beginning of his life, not just when he was chased around by Saul. In fact, this chasing around by Saul is just a preparation for the time where he would be king. And when he was king, he faced with even more enemies. And one of the last enemies that he had to face was this giant, well, very much like Goliath. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16, right? We read of this giant, Ishbi-benob, one of the sons of the giant, well, like Goliath. And he almost succeeded in killing David. And yet, David was delivered. And so this theme about troubles in life that we will face, of the enemies of Christ that surround us, well, this is a common theme for all Christians and throughout our lives. And as we live in this world, the one thing that we must understand and the one thing that can encourage us as we go through this trouble is the knowledge that the Lord is my rock. Not the things of this world, not money, but the Lord, Jehovah, He is our rock. And when we talk about rock down here, please do not understand the word rock to mean the pebbles that you can find in a garden. This small rock. No. Right. For this word rock here, right, refers to a large boulder or a cliff. And in those days, if you want to build a fortress, you want to build a structure that will be able to withstand the attacks from the enemy, well, one of the common places where you will build such a structure would be on a cliff, on a rock. And this rock, this cliff, will serve as a natural defense against the attacks of the enemy. It is not easy, it is almost nigh impossible to penetrate a fortress that is made of stone. And so if you go for a trip to Europe, well, in some places, well, you may find that there are cities and structures that are actually like carved even in stone. And this stone structure would therefore protect, right, the people that were dwelling within it. Now, this picture is now being used here to describe our defense, our refuge. It's used to describe the Lord. In the midst of the storms of life, right, He is the sure and steadfast refuge and protection. And we can depend upon Him. He is the rock. And take note down here in 2 Samuel verses 2 to 3, he is not only described as the rock. Right? It's not just the Lord is the rock. But take note, down here he is stated as the Lord is my rock. In other words, I belong to him and he belongs to me. There is this emphasis on the relationship with the Lord. And so in verse 2, right, it's said down here, the Lord is my rock.
And
the word, the name the Lord here, right, talks about how we have this covenant relationship with God. And he is also faithful, right, to his covenant. He is faithful to his words. And since he is our Lord, well, he will be true to his promise to protect his saints till their work on earth is done. Right, so, firstly, he is faithful. But not only just that, but you read verse 3. Right, down here, God's word says, not only says the Lord is my rock, but here the Bible says the God of my rock. Not just the Lord, but the God, Elohim, is my rock. And why Elohim down here? Well, because not only is he faithful to his promises, but understand that this God, who is our rock, is also almighty. He is all-powerful, and therefore he is able to save us. So he is able to save, and he is also faithful to save. And this is the lesson that David had to learn throughout his entire life, that the Lord is his rock. Well, the Lord was David's rock when he was a shepherd boy. Right? He faced enemies that were supposedly more powerful than a young man. What did he have to face as he protected the sheep? Well, he had to defend the sheep from bears, from lions. And the Lord helped him. And later on in his life, he had to confront Goliath. And humanly speaking, right, you look at this giant of a man and then you compare to this young shepherd boy, well, you would think that there is no match. And yet, David's rock, the Lord helped David to have the victory. And then later on, right, David served in the courts of Saul. And then Saul became very jealous. And Saul wanted to destroy David because he knew that David was the one whom the Lord has anointed to be the next king. And out of his envy, he chased David around. And there were times where everything seemed so hopeless, everything seemed so helpless. And yet the Lord preserved David. And this was a lesson that he had to learn before he became king. Right? In fact, there were times when Saul pursued David, where David was very fearful and gave in to his fears. For example, right, he fled to Ahimelech, the priest. And then he used deception to obtain bread. And then after that, he took off the sword of Goliath. Now, Goliath was someone whom David had earlier slew, right, by the grace of God. Now, why is it now that he needed the sword of Goliath? Well, but he was very afraid, so he wanted to take the sword of Goliath with him. And then after that, he fled to Achish. And while he was with Achish of Gath, he heard this little ditty that was sung before. Well, is this not David whom he said, well, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands? Well, this should be something that have encouraged the heart of David. But David instead became afraid and then he feigned madness. But the Lord was very merciful and allowed him to move the heart of Achish to say, well, why do I need this madman around? And so David managed to escape. And then he fled where? He fled to Moab, where there is a natural boundary. He has some family ties there, right? Because Ruth, right, came from Moab. So he thought that he can find his refuge there. And he was given a place called Mizpeh. And Mizpeh was actually founded upon a rock and a cliff. But the Lord didn't want David to be in Moab. The Lord sent God to tell him, hey, look, I want you back in the wilderness of Judah. You just go in and you just trust in me that I will protect you. And so David learned his lesson. He went back to the wilderness of Judah. And did the Lord protect him? Yes, many times. Well, there were times where Saul almost managed to reach David. And Saul moved one side of the mountain and David moved on the other side. Well, narrow escape. And then the Lord caused an enemy to come upon Israel, and so Saul had to depart. Yes, the Lord was the sure defense of David all the way during his fleeing away from King Saul. And why was that so? Well, because the Lord had this divine appointment for him, that the Lord had already said that David would be king. And so till David's task was done on this earth, well, the Lord will preserve him. Well, when we say that the Lord is our rock, when we say that the Lord is David's rock, well, you will notice that it does not mean an absence of difficulty. There will not be any persecutions. Everything will be seemingly very smooth sailing. But as these tides of problems come our way, well, the Lord is there to help us to go through all these difficulties and obstacles and to bring glory to His name. And so this is something that we must also understand as we go through this world today. Now, if the Lord has indeed determined that you should continue your witness, for example, in your workplaces, in your places of learning, that you should stay there and continue to bear this testimony for Christ's sake, until your time is up, well, there is no need to worry. The Lord will be there as your sure defense, as your steadfast refuge. The thing is, you need to see that indeed He is your rock. Of course, firstly, you better make sure that He is your rock. He can only be your rock, firstly, well, if you are a Christian. And then if you are a Christian, and then It is His will for you to be in that place where the Lord will be there, the Lord will defend you. All you need to do is just trust in Him. Flee to Him for refuge. In fact, that is the word, the meaning, the picture behind the word trust in verse 3. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust, in Him will I flee for refuge. And just abide in Him and just simply trust in Him. And to trust in Him not only as the rock, but He is my rock. The basis of His covenantal faithfulness. And the fact that He is able to save and I have this relationship with Him. Yes, I can trust in the rock of all ages. And if we say that we trust in the Lord who is our rock, then what will follow is that we will also call upon Him, isn't it? And that is the lesson that David must learn. Yes, that in all things, he must always call upon the Lord who He is his rock. He must call to Him for help. He must depend on Him for grace to accomplish His work upon this earth. And so therefore, the period of time where he was in the wilderness was actually his, in a way, his Bible college. And to prepare him for the time where he must be the king. And as he was king, well, he would need to lead Israel to fight against the enemies of the nation. And as he fought against the enemies of the nations, and of course, David also had to contend with enemies, right? Even within the courts of Israel. Well, the one thing that will keep him strong and will help him to persevere, right, in the midst of all these difficulties will be the Lord. But he must call on Him. And that is what it means, right, to be a man after God's heart. One of the aspects of being a man after God's own heart. In fact, right, chapters 22 all the way to the end of 2 Samuel, right, these last few chapters, right, is given to us to present this portrait of what a man after God's own heart is like. And all Christians are supposed to be men after God's own heart. You say that you are men after God's own heart, then in every sin of life, you must call upon the Lord your rock. And this is what David say here in this psalm. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So I shall be saved from my enemies. And yes, even though it may seem so helpless, as though there is this sea whereby the waves of death threaten to drown me, yet in my distress, in this time of my affliction, in this time where I am boxed in, and it seems there is nowhere to go, well, I will make sure I will not depend upon the arm of flesh, which he tried to, right, initially. But he learned his lesson. I will not depend on my arm of flesh anymore, but I will depend on the Lord. And I will call on Him, and I will rest in Him. For I am certain that He will hear my cry out of the heavenly temple. He will answer the prayers of all His saints. And this was David's experience. It will be an experience all the way to the very end. And what we have here in verses 8 all the way to 19 is really a very vivid and pictorial description of the marvelous and wonderful nature of the Lord's deliverance. For when we say that the Lord is our rock, who is this Lord? Who is this God? Well, this God is all-powerful, that He's able to even shake the very foundations of the earth. Is that not true of the God whom we believe? Did He not create this world by the power of His word? And so, yes, surely, if He wanted to, yes, He can even cause the foundations of the world to shake. He can cause all kinds of volcanic eruption, the foundations of the earth, the foundations of the heavens, yeah, even the foundations of the sea, they will all be discovered, they will all be uncovered simply by the blast of the breath of the Lord. Yes, this is the God who is our Lord. Do you believe? Do you believe? Because oftentimes we find that, you know, while people may profess faith in the Lord, yet we live in a world whereby the thinking of some Christians are very twisted. Or they come to church expecting to hear a session of chicken soup for the soul. And so they come, they want to ask for advice, and they expect to be told, well, how they may resolve matters in life with their own intellect, with their own wisdom, with their own strength, with the arm of flesh. And when they come and then they hear the teaching, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct the paths. You want to find your solution out of the problems in life, flee to the Lord, your rock, while they get very angry. Yeah, we live in a world whereby, you know, even when we say that God's word is perfect, people say, well, how can you be so proud to believe that God's word is perfect? And they will turn around and they will say, well, how can you be so proud to tell me that I should trust in the Lord, my rock? But this is what it means to be a Christian, isn't it? You just simply rest in the defense that is provided by God Himself. You just simply be still and know that He is God. You just simply trust that the Lord will deliver. And you will see that despite the so-called strength of your enemy, for how the Lord can deliver you. And what does it mean, therefore, to rest in Him? Well, what it means is you just simply continue serving the Lord according to His word. You just simply continue bearing a good testimony for Him, obeying His commandments and statutes. You make sure that you live your life righteously, justly, and you do not take matters into your own hands. That is what it means to rest in the Lord, who is your rock. And that is the reason why, right, on two occasions, David could have taken the life of Saul. And on each of these occasions, well, what did David do? Well, David did not kill him. David just simply let King Saul go. Right? In fact, when he cut off a portion of Saul's skirt, his heart was already smote. He could have taken all things into his own hands and ended the life of Saul there and then. And if he does that, well, what would he mean? Well, it could mean that, with a sinful thinking, well, it could mean that, well, his trouble is all over, isn't it? I spend all my time fleeing from this enemy who is more powerful than me. And then now finally he comes and he is at my doorstep. And all I need to do is just plunge my sword into him and it is over and then I can be king. But no, David did not respond in that manner. Because that would mean taking matters into his own hands, and that would mean that he is not resting in the Lord his rock. To rest in the Lord his rock would mean that he would trust, firstly, that the Lord would deliver perfectly in his way, and not just in his way, but also in his perfect timing. As the Lord would deliver. And so, yes, while Saul may do all these unrighteous things against me, yet I must continue to remain a loyal subject unto the current king of Israel. And I must not in any way do anything contrary to the commandments of God. In fact, if you read the later verses of 2 Samuel, chapter 22, you will realize that is exactly the case. Right? David was one who lived in righteousness. That is what it means to rest in the Lord who is our rock. And so back again to the various situations that we may face in life. Firstly, in our workplaces, you strive to do your best for the Lord. You do all things honestly. And your conduct towards others is very respectful, very gracious. And not only do you not do anything wrong against them, in fact, you are very kind towards them. You help them. But along the way, all these people who initially you thought were your friends, they become jealous of you. They want to get rid of you. And so in front of your boss, but behind your back, they say all kinds of nasty things against you. And then they begin to plot how they may sabotage you to prevent you from doing your task. And worst of all, along the way, it seems as though your boss believes them. And so you begin to worry. Oh Lord, I have a family to feed. And if it carries on this way, I may lose my job. And so how? Well, if you say that the Lord is your rock, then you must make sure you do not succumb to your temptation, to the temptation to behave exactly like what these people are doing to you. Because the temptation can be very real. They use all kinds of lies, they use all kinds of cunning deception in order to bring me down. And my boss believes them. So you think that you are the only person who knows how to play this game? I also know how to play this game. And then you adopt the same tactics, you adopt the same ways. You begin transgressing the commandments of God. You begin to lie. You begin to kill. You begin to steal. You begin to try your own way to manipulate matters in order to climb up the corporate ladder. And you give yourself the excuse. In your mind, you say, oh, you know, I have a family to feed. I must be, you know, a responsible father, because a responsible father must bring food upon the table, right? But actually, this is an excuse just to cover up your sinful ways. And when you do this, then you have not. It means that you have not understood what it means for the Lord to be your rock. What then is your rock in life? Your mind. Your arm of flesh. The things of the world. That is your rock. That is your support. And what kind of rock and support are all these things? It is a vain support. It is a corruptible support. How can these things compare to the Lord our God? No. We must abide in the law of God and walk in it. People can do evil things against us. But if indeed we say and we truly believe that the Lord is our rock, we truly call upon Him and rest in Him, then it will mean that we will continue to abide in the narrow way of the Holy Scriptures. In fact, there is also the case for the Far Eastern Bible College. During the time of the crisis, whereby the college faced a lawsuit. I'm so thankful that my teachers, they did not follow the way of the world. Because if the college had done so and resort to lies in order to strengthen an argument in court, then who then is the rock of the college? It is no longer the Lord. And so, yes, let us learn from this example of David down here. This is a very heartfelt psalm that is written. Very passionate. The Lord is my rock. It's not just a theory, right, to David. He truly believed, firstly, that the Lord is his rock. And because he believed the Lord is his rock, well, in all the changing seasons of time, he will always call upon the Lord who is his rock. And not only just that, he would always rest in the sure deliverance and perfect deliverance of the Lord his rock. And I pray that this will also be the case for us. So is there anybody down here who is downhearted, sorrowful, depressed because of the difficulties of life, because of your desire to stand for Christ? Well, we pray today that this particular understanding of this particular name stated down here, the Lord is my rock, will be your encouragement and comfort you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank Thee that as thy children, we can always flee to thee for help. For thou art our sure and steadfast defense in this world that is so full of trouble. Oh Lord, oftentimes we meet with difficulties far above what we can imagine. And they threaten to overwhelm us. But we know that all these troubles can never be greater than thee. And so, Lord, we pray that this understanding that thou art our rock will keep our minds stayed upon thee, and that by thy sacred word, you will grant this peace that passeth all understanding in our hearts, to know that all things are under thy control. And so long as the time still remains for us to serve thee here on this earth, Lord, thou would continue to preserve us. You will not forsake us. You will continue to lead and direct us. Only help us to be faithful to thee and thy word. So encourage our hearts, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.